Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We're making some minor modifications, and we're heading straight into Thanksgiving. And I can bet any Republican, any conservative, anybody that loves the Constitution doesn't have a lot to be thankful for, or at least at the outcome of the direction that this election is going. I believe that most people are going, what the heck's going on? Now, there are a lot of things that are in play right now. And so one thing that is unstoppable, whether you like it or not, tomorrow we celebrate Thanksgiving. And it is only tradition every year that we go through what America, what this new constitution, this hybrid constitutional republic, and the standards of the hybrid constitutional republic's Thanksgiving should be. And so what we do is we actually read something that most people have never read before, and we try to place context to what we're truly to give thanks for. Now, before we go into any and all of that, I know we've got a lot of listeners, and as a matter of fact, today and tomorrow, usually we have a big spike or a big, you know, jump in our listenership. And so I want to thank you and welcome those who are tuning in for the first time. What I do want you to understand is this show is, as I state, really more educational. If you want to understand the Constitution, you want to understand how the Constitution could solve every single one of our problems, this is the only show that will give you that. As a matter of fact, what I always say is this is the only show that gives you the academic evidence and the academic-based solutions to actually solving this constitutional crisis that we've been in for well over a century. This goes back to, almost two centuries. So two centuries ago, this is when James Monroe would have been in president, or the president. And it was about this time when the first real crisis of, or I should say, the first real whammy that the government, the federal government, had placed onto the Constitution was the Missouri Compromise. I want you to think about that. Look at what the Missouri Compromise did. The Missouri Compromise gave the federal government the power to mandate that any state joining the Union would either be a slave state or a free state, which is antithetical to the concept of independent and sovereign states, that states had their own choice of destiny, what they wanted to do, whether they wanted to, you know, break the yoke of bondage, or or whether they wanted to be a state of commerce, a state of religious freedom, and what have you. And here, Congress made this huge political blunder in compromising this concept of slavery. But I want you to understand the real backstory. When the Constitution was being ratified, and they were actually before it was being ratified, when they were in the Constitutional Convention, and they created this thing called the three-fifths rule, and most blacks look at that as an insult or what have you, and it wasn't an insult to blacks at all. Unfortunately, human beings tend to personalize things, and they take things out of context, and we actually start creating, you know, a paradigm that is actually more dangerous than the truth. The fact of the matter is that there was a calculation in the minds of the northern states that when you look at what was going to happen with not allowing a full representation of slaves for apportionment, and saying, well, they're not independent people that get representation. They may be, so they came up with this calculation That calculation also foreordained that the southern states would become outnumbered, and within 20, 30 years, that there would be enough northern states to actually put pressure on the southern states. And so that's exactly what was happening, which is when Congress and the political compromise and the machinations that were going on in trying to further slavery created the Missouri Compromise. I want you to understand that the work of the three-fifths rule actually came to fruition. And instead of facing the reality and allowing, you know, the South to actually say, you know what, we've got to walk away from this, instead they furthered it even farther down the road, or they kicked that can farther down the road. And what do we have? We were destined, as George Mason declared during the Constitutional Convention, that we were going to have a civil war. As he declared, every slave owner is a petty tyrant. And though God cannot punish nations and states in heaven, he can punish this nation and these states for keeping this abominable practice of slavery. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but those are the truths. And the reality was that they did everything they could. It's just like ending the slave trade in 1808. Most people don't even know that in Article 1, Section 9, the federal government took over the full control of the importation of people so that they could actually end the practice of the slave trade coming into the United States. And just a little more story before we start moving forward. This is amazing because it was James Madison who got very upset when they added that clause to ending this. This was another compromise that they put in the Constitution, that in 20 years, in 1808, that the federal government would take full cognizance and control over importation of people, over immigration, and they would end the slave trade. But what Madison was really upset about, and what he stated was, who in their right mind is going to remember that this little clause is buried in this Constitution 20 years from now? As we move forward, we're going to completely forget that that clause even exists. And he basically forecasted the demise, or actually, he forecasted that that clause would be basically a dead letter. It would have no standing because in 20 years, nobody would remember it. So let me ask you something. Do you understand how the divine hand of providence has been involved in this nation's affairs for so long, and we still don't recognize, and because of our constitutional illiteracy, this is why we don't recognize all of these things that have occurred, because it wasn't a coincidence that in 1808, the President of the United States was James Madison. And he did hold the Southern states accountable and shut down with every bit of energy and exertion that he could make. He shut down those slave trades. Now, they tried to backdoor by going into the Latin America and Central America and so forth, and other mechanisms, but he did everything he could to shut down that slave trade, because at that point in time, they knew that without the importation of slaves, the days would be numbered as to how many, how the apportionment would change, and by 1820, the census really indicated that the tide was beginning to turn. And this is why I'm telling you the story about the Missouri Compromise. I'm giving you the bigger picture, not about the little details of who said what and what it really, I mean, everybody kind of understands what it was, but they didn't understand its context and the role the Constitution had in trying to end slavery by using some of these little things, such as the 1808 clause, as well as the three-fifths rule. And so we want you to understand that this show is all about trying to give you the paradigm of the truth of the Constitution and how it has everything, It has everything we need. This is why we actually go through the Constitution, and this is why I actually read what the framers actually said. I try not to paraphrase, except in days like today, I'll paraphrase, but we actually read through the Constitution, we read through the ratification debates, we read through, and today we're going to read George Washington's proclamation of a national Thanksgiving. And we're going to do this tomorrow too, but the context tomorrow will be a little bit different. I've yet to do really pre-planned, you know, repeats or, you know, the best ofs, because I believe that the message, it needs to be very concise and succinct with the time of what's going on in the day. We don't go through the regular news. If you're jonesing for what's going on with the election, then you've allowed yourself to be consumed with things that you have no control over. But you do have control over your government as to applying the Constitution and demanding that the Constitution be complied with by our government officials. That's why we basically, we're changing the direction of this nation, and you can become a part of it. That's why this show is called Reclaiming the Republic. Because the good Lord, as the good Lord knew what was needed at every point in time, and I told you, he has been involved in the affairs of this nation. Even though we have turned our back on him today, he has given us in this Constitution everything necessary to restore this constitutional republic, or as I like to say, hybrid constitutional republic. And if you want to understand the context of the hybrid constitutional republic, you'll need to tune in for a while, because it, you know, we get into it over time. We will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so I'm not going to necessarily go through the normal obligatories, because the focus is really on giving thanks. And so what we want to do is, and what I want to do is actually give you a different paradigm. I mean, how do you give thanks? I mean, most people, you know, they give thanks for their blessing of food, and they thank the Lord for all that they've had. But how do you really give thanks? Now, if you are familiar with the scriptures, basically, we are taught, or the scriptures point out, that with Adam and Eve, that they were to sanctify their thanks through sacrifice, the thanks of their harvest, the thanks of their crops, their yield. They were to actually, you know, sacrifice a lamb, or and in other ways, they were just told to sacrifice via tithes and have a sacrifice for, you know, the atonement. And so sacrifice was a very integral part of giving thanks. And as a matter of fact, sacrifice is what sanctified one's humility in thanks. And so if you start understanding the concept of thanksgiving, when one looks at the Thanksgiving historically, you know, there were there was the Thanksgiving in Virginia, and then later on there was the Thanksgiving in Massachusetts. And what I want to do, because I've never done this before, is I want to actually read the words that were written and actually the words that were used to King James, and this was basically 1620 in Virginia. Virginia was the first state to actually have the first Thanksgiving on this continent. But let's keep in mind that Virginia was an independent and sovereign colony. It was disparate from all of the other colonies, and at that point in time, Virginia was the big baby. If you also keep in context that when the settlers came and set up Jamestown, right, what they did, and as a matter of fact, the year before the Jamestown was established, I believe there were settlers that went to Roanoke Island in Virginia, and there was no sign of any of those people ever. We've never found out what happened to those people. Maybe they were eaten, washed to sea, who knows? It's only speculation because there is no evidence to point to what happened to those people. And so the second attempt in creating a foothold or a footstool here in the Americas, what was it, 1606 or something like that, when they went to Jamestown. And they set up Jamestown, and they brought enough people to kind of create, I'll just say, kind of like a little fort where they were able to put some security around their dwellings and so forth. And in that very first winter, they were harassed and had, you know, things stolen and so forth by the natives or the Indians at the time. And so they were a colony. And just remember that this was, you know, 12 years or so of struggling in Jamestown. I think the very first winter, the very first year, they lost almost half of those people who landed there. Now, just think about this. Here you are in England, and you're going, you know, wow, what a great opportunity. But boy, the odds sure are against us in trying to go to the Americas and set up a new life and become a plantation owner, or, you know, an agrarian, or whatever you plan to come to do. A lot of people just came to just be explorers. But the point in fact is that your survivability wasn't that great. There was a good chance that you were going to die. And that's why a lot of people that had affluence came here and underwrote their, let's just call it their exploring or whatever they were doing, not becoming a landowner, but actually just coming for the adventure. They underwrote their trip. In other words, they got the Lloyd's of London insurance to cover. If something happened to them, then their family would have been taken care of. So anyway, 14 years later, after they had failed, because you got to remember, Jamestown was a collectivist society, just like the Puritans tried to do. And in every attempt here on American soil, whenever we thought it was a good idea to collectivize and actually work communally and, you know, have socialism as our rule it was always abandoned because of the tragedies that came forth. The Tragedy of the Commons is a great story to read. And so these first struggling years, they just couldn't do it. But in 1620, they actually, in Virginia, had their very first, let's just call it Thanksgiving. And this is what was written. "We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, etc., having undertaken for the glory of God the advancement of the Christian faith and honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one of another covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid, and by virtue hereof to enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience, in witness whereof we have underscribed our names at Cape Cod the 11th of November." And again, this is new style, November 21st. And again, this was in 1620. Now, they said Cape Cod, but this was actually the Virginia, because they talked about the colony of Northern Virginia. And the first Thanksgiving that was actually done up in Cape Cod, so I don't know where the context came, because this is actually a document. I haven't gotten the actual source document, but I do know that this one was the very first Thanksgiving. And maybe they landed through Cape Cod and then came down south. But the actual first Thanksgiving message by Edward Winslow up in Massachusetts for the Puritans, this is what they said. And this is their first Thanksgiving. There are two and only two primary source accounts of the first Thanksgiving. And they are presented below in the original English. They must be read in context of the larger record given by Winslow and Bradford concerning the pilgrim story. "Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent four men on fowling, that we might after a special manner rejoice together after we had gathered the fruits of our labors. They four in one day killed as much fowl as with the little help besides served the company almost a week, at which time almost other recreations we exercised our arms, many of the Indians coming amongst us and amongst the rest of their great king Massasoit," and I think that was the king of the Indians or the chief, "with some 90 men whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted, and they went out and killed 5 deer, which they brought to the plantation and bestowed on our governor and upon the captain and others. And although it is not always so plentiful as it was at this time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are the fair from want that we often wish to partakers of our plenty." Now, these are people that are giving thanks to the bounty and the food and so forth. But as I started off, to truly give thanks and to truly recognize the divine hand of providence in your blessings, it's one thing to, you know, just give thanks, but it's another thing to sanctify that thanks. And so what ended up happening, and let me see, I've got a minute, so I'll just try to, you know, give you the picture, and then we'll get into really what ended up happening. As you know, there was, every state, every colony on America was established with Christianity. Most people, have never been taught this, but almost every building that they created, whether it was for public use, for private use, or for personal use, such as your, you know, your home and dwelling, every building that was being erected was being ordained and blessed in a Christian fashion, where they used olive leaves, olive branches, olive oil, and said prayers and so forth. And in many times, what they were doing with these larger public buildings, and as a matter of fact, a little backstory on the theater that they used, and I believe it was a theater where they did some discussions of the ratification debates or something, and I believe it was built by a Frenchman, even its keystone was blessed and set aside or set apart for the work of the Lord. And all buildings in America were being foreordained for the work of the Lord, for the, you know, seeking blessings and so forth. And there's a reason why we're not taught this, because then it destroys the narrative that these people were godless, and they weren't godless. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos, and we'll get into the setting for our Thanksgiving.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so I know in my first book, and I'm not going to whip it out and actually read it or cite it, but I know in my first book I did the research as to when slavery was galvanized as a standard practice that all blacks would be slaves that came to America. But that didn't mean that those freemen that were actually came as indentured servants that were black and had, you know, became property owners, didn't mean that they became slaves. And so a lot of them enjoyed their liberties and our freedom, but over time, and it's one of the things that Thomas Sowell points out, that what England ended up doing, and this is clearly delineated in the first declaration, the original Declaration of Independence. It was delineated by Thomas Jefferson that it was the king who made the proclamation and put the burden on America to actually foreordain a very specific group of people, the blacks, to be slaves in America. And what they were doing was a deliberate manipulation. This was only just one of the many manipulations that England had begun to do. First off, you have to understand that that this new America and its economy was completely owned and managed by English manipulation. And so one of the things that we have to understand, and I try to point out as often as I possibly can, is that we, at that point in time, had a mercantile system where the government dictated what crops you were to grow, and they allowed you to grow a few, you know, whatever necessary for your own good, but you couldn't sell those things out on the open market. And so, ergo, the black market existed in those days because people would grow more than what they needed of these products or crops that they weren't supposed to grow, and they would use those as bartering for other things from other people outside of the market for tobacco or corn or what have you, for, you know, the grains that the king had basically What's the word for that? Commission. He basically commissioned these plantation owners. You will grow these things and you will provide us with this much. And you had to answer for why you didn't provide that much. So we didn't have a free economy. We had a mercantile economy, which was a complete manipulation of the government controls. I ask everybody and I point out today, do you believe we really have a free market? Or do you believe that we have a mercantile system? Now, the free market is when you can grow something and do something without government intervention and without government involvement, at least at the minimum level, such as this county or maybe state. But when you start really producing, you either conform to the federal government or you're not in business. They will shut you down. So we moved from a mercantile system to a free market system and then back to a mercantile system again, all without you even knowing. So anyway, that was only just one of the many. So there was the slavery, the mercantile system, and there were all of these other little things that England began to manipulate and to play with. And as a matter of fact, over the course of the next century and a half, England started fighting wars, the French and Indian Wars and so forth. And as everybody understands, that the debt of those wars began to, you know, weigh heavily. And because the colonies were becoming so prosperous and wealth was being established in the colonies, Britain decided to start levying, what they would declare were very onerous types of taxes. And as I pointed out, the tea tax was 0.1%, a tenth of a penny on the tea. And those up in Boston said, this is outrageous. We have to pay a tenth of a penny. And so they threw all this tea into the harbor. What happened to us, America? I mean, we're paying, you know, high percentages on our efforts and our consumption and so forth, and we're just rolling over like it means nothing to us. But back in those days, they were absolutely livid. Now, the real reason that they were livid, as most people understand, it was about taxation without representation. We were being taxed, and these onerous taxes that England was putting on, stamp tax and so forth, they were actually creating this this demand of, because you got to understand that these were British men. These were Englishmen. They believed that they were entitled to the rights of an Englishman. And if they were to be taxed as, you know, Parliament and the king felt that they needed to be taxed, then they deserved representation. So that drove us straight into the Civil War, or not this, well, it technically was a Civil War, but it was what we call the Revolutionary War. And we ended up prevailing, but we never really got England to comply to the agreement of the, what do you want to call it, the treaty. And so we had multiple treaties, we had multiple attempts. And the real Revolutionary War didn't end until the War of 1812, when James Madison, and being the only president to actually lead troops in battle at the time, was the one that actually ended that war with England. Nevertheless, as we started moving through these tumultuous times and the oppression of England and so forth, there is no doubt that the framers recognized the divine hand of providence and how he was, I don't want to say mingling, but how he was showing, or a better word for this is how he basically benefited the colonists and those who were living here in America through his protections, favor, and so forth. Washington, throughout the Revolutionary War, pointed to all sorts of blessings, how, you know, going through winter quarters, how he didn't lose all of his army because of the conditions and so forth. All of the things. I mean, Washington was so grateful for the Lord in blessing him with all of the things he had done. I mean, most people have seen that picture of Washington, you know, praying in the woods in the snow. I am telling you that the framers really understood what the heck was going on. So as we struggle through this concept of going into, you know, the Declaration of Independence and actually becoming free and independent states, and then creating the Articles of Confederation to try to create this general government, an inept general government that couldn't tax and couldn't pay its debts and so forth, and how we eventually evolved into our hybrid constitutional republic. And so here you get the real definition. If you understand a republic is either a confederacy or it is a federation. But in America, they actually created a hybrid. A federation is where all powers, the federal government, the general government, becomes the sovereigns over all powers necessary. However, in our constitutional republic, the federation was only granted very specific and enumerated powers. There were no general powers granted. Therefore, they created a federation and retained the confederation, which is why even after the Constitution, Jefferson referred to the United States as a confederacy, because the confederacy still retained itself because the states were able to enjoy all powers not delegated. Therefore, we have a hybrid constitutional republic. Therefore, as they started moving forward in this constitutional republic, Congress, in its very first session, I forget, I think it was in June or July, maybe it was June or July, August. It was during the summer months. Congress unanimously, and I want to emphasize this, unanimously, there was not one person that did not vote for the calling for a Thanksgiving to recognize this nation and this Constitution that we, these people at that time, were blessed with. So they called upon the president unanimously to declare a national Thanksgiving. And so what we have in George Washington's proclamation was done in a unanimous tone of recognizing the divine hand of providence. And this is why we have this Thanksgiving. Now, in our next episode, tomorrow on Thanksgiving, we're going to read this again, but we're going to put it into a different context. But what I wanted to do was create the historical context for you into why we changed the paradigm. Because I've already read, and most people understand, that the American Thanksgiving is about, you know, being blessed with the bountiful, you know, products and the, you know, foods and so forth, and how we should be thankful for that. However, when we created this hybrid constitutional republic, that tone completely changed. And so let me get started. Actually, I've got 20 seconds. So when we come back, I'm going to dive straight into reading what George Washington declared in his proclamation and what he called for in a nation of giving thanks and how he called us for giving thanks. And you'll note that it has nothing to do with a feast, food, turkeys, Indians, or anything like that. This set the tone for this nation in giving an annual thanks to him, but we'll get into that when we come right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so let me go straight into what became the byproduct of that unanimous call from Congress for the President of the United States to declare a proclamation of giving thanks. And you got to remember that this was not an edict. This was a guidance. This was not law. This was, in true humility, a call for people to recognize what we've been blessed with. And so this is what he said. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly and implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me, quote, to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere, humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of His providence in the course of conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, excuse me, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed. For the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one that now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means which we have acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us. And we also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us, whether we in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good governments, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows as to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October. And so most people don't even remember that the first few years of our government actually was up in New York City. And as a matter of fact, when Washington was relieved of his post, it was in New York City. And later on, Madison or Adams then moved it down to the, I think we moved straight down into the D.C. And I believe Thomas Jefferson was the first occupant of the White House, I believe. Anyway, I know I wrote about all this stuff, but as you get older, you just start forgetting stuff. I hate to say this, my friends, but I believe I have forgotten more than what our children have learned. And that's a sad day, because I know that they have the capacity of learning. This is one of the things that I shared with a group of leaders last night, is that children love knowledge and truth. Even more so, they love being right, and they love standing up to the establishment of wrong. Why is it that we are not, you know, what's the good word for this? Why is it we're not exploiting this nature within young children? If you look at the history, even Thomas Jefferson and even John Adams was embarrassed by his grandson for being kicked out of Harvard. It was often the what they call the indiscretions of youth, where they make these mistakes and so forth. However, there have been points in time, such as the Revolutionary War. When you look at Madison was just a youth. These guys were just teenagers when the revolution was getting started. And they dug their feet in the truth. We have the ability to actually start feeding the children, or I should say the young adults, those who are becoming adults, those who are maturing and actually overcome these puerile juvenile delinquents that we see out in the streets that are teaching our kids, and those who have just left their indoctrination systems. It is time we start giving them the truth. And the best way to do that, my friends, is to actually start reaching out. If you know you have progressive neighbors, then their kids are being fed the big lie. If you capitalize on the fact that these kids want to actually challenge their parents and their paradigm, that is innate within all children, that they actually challenge them, give them the truth to challenge their parents and actually have them walk away from the darkness or away from the paradigms of their parent towards the light, towards the truth of liberty, constitution, and so forth. I mean, these all may seem like good words, but these are real. The desire for a child to break away from the parent and the backwards or the let's just say their false paradigms, their facade of, you know, the lies that they have created or that they believe in today. Let's give them the opportunity. Let's prove that this is a blessing, that the there's a word for it, but the that indiscretion or that angst and that desire for a child to actually break away from their parents, let's exploit that. And more people are talking about we need to go after these youth. Well, I think we can do that, and I think we can actually capitalize on that. So with that, what we're going to do in our next episode is we're actually going to read this again, but we're going to try to place context to what is going on in the world and in the United States as far as giving thanks, recognizing what the heck we have here, and trying to point out to you and trying to point out to all people that we have an opportunity to recognize what we've been blessed with, because only the Lord knew what we needed, and He gave us everything. And I'm here to tell you that if you become familiar with the Constitution, you will quickly, one, recognize the perversion and how it has been subverted by lies and deception. Secondly, that we have everything in it necessary to force compliance, that we, as we the people, as we the states, start banding together collectively in the demanding of compliance to our Constitution, we can reclaim this republic. We can restore the Constitution and constitutional laws in this republic once again. We can make America a not just a blessed nation, but a blessing to pour forth to all nations. There's no doubt in my mind that the Constitution, and I've said this many times, that the Constitution was bestowed upon us. And I do not believe that the Lord only blessed us who happen to live within the physical boundaries of this nation to be able to enjoy liberty. I believe the Lord wants all people to have the liberty to choose for themselves. And I think when we start recognizing the power of liberty and truth and self-destiny, the free agency, responsibility, accountability, these factors of liberty, then I believe we can see, you know, how America can be that shining light once again. Those aren't just words. Those aren't just hyperbole. I see plenty of hyperbole. I see in social media people talking about getting ready to fight another revolution and a civil war. I am telling you, we don't need to. All we have to do is use the Constitution as our weapon and as our defense. And in so doing, every battle we go into engaging the enemy with, and as I always say, you know, the enemy that we are facing, whether you want to consider them to be Satan, whether they're the global progressives or what have you, the enemy that we have to engage, if we use the Constitution and we unite on our terms and not their terms, we will win. There's no doubt in my mind. The good Lord gave us everything we need. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless, and happy Thanksgiving.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL
or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.